Wow, they've given the women the last word. I told them after the fire tunnel, you know, there's no closing a service, so I'm the last person before Mary Audrey, so I get to say what I want. But I am up here too, also on behalf of the Presbytery and Global Christian Ministry Forum from Canada, and I just want to thank you all for coming. I said it's my Canadian family meeting my international family, so it's probably more important to me than any of you. So I, you know, I just take it as this is all my party, and and I'm enjoying it. I just want to thank everybody that's been involved, from volunteers. Frida and Pauline, who worked so hard in the kitchen with all your snacks, and we couldn't have done it without them, and you all enjoyed it, right? And they were an absolute blessing, and I just want to really, really thank them, for everybody, from worship leaders to my daughter Michelle on the registration desk. She's her father's daughter. She's technically. Anyway, it is an absolute privilege for me today to be able to introduce my friend. And I consider Mary Audrey a friend. And we've been through some similar things together. And she's one of those friends, you know, that we don't often get in touch, but when we do, there's a connection. And she asked me if I would kind of introduce her two books. The very first one she wrote is her Releasers of Life, and that's just a powerful book. It's absolutely incredible. But the one I highly, highly, highly recommend is her Once Upon a Revival, and it's a story of the revival that happened here at the church. And it's from her perspective, and it's how they came even to make decisions on what to do with, you know, the manifestations and all that stuff. But it is, it's like sitting down. I read it at one sitting, and it's like Mary Audrey just sitting there talking to you, telling you what happened. And there's just such gems of wisdom in it, and it's absolutely awesome. And I highly, highly recommend it to you. So beyond everything else, we pray that you have a great trip home. And we'll see you in, that's what I was supposed to announce, Ohio. The third week in June. We don't have the exact dates, do we, Larry? But we figure it's the third week in June. We'll let you know as soon as the dates are finalized. And Ohio's not very far. No. 6 hours from here. So, you know, we're good. Okay? So, Mary Audrey, come on. And let's just stand and give her a welcome, because we're just blessed to have her. Huh? I was kind of nervous about what she might say. She was good, wasn't she? She was fine. Oh, boy, we've got the lights. Hallelujah. I think they're better here. When you're standing up there and you're trying to see out, you can only see about the first couple of rows. So it's good to be able to see. What an amazing, amazing gathering. You know, we can get so territorial. And I was just, you know, laying there in bed kind of thinking about how I might put things together for this morning. And I realized how I'm just so used to the little regional group. And you get stuck in your regions. And they're wonderful. And, you know, you grow with them and you get to know the people there. But, you know, seldom because we're so busy in our own ministries, our own walk and what we're doing, that sometimes we don't think beyond that. And so that's why it's blown my mind to sit here and watch the different ones come in, especially the ones that really had to put themselves out to come such a distance. You're amazing, all the people from overseas. I just thank you for coming. I love looking at you. I really do. I've never watched, you know, watched such a group of, I would just call you playing regal. There's a kingly, oh my gosh, there's a kingly anointing on you people from Africa. Oh my goodness. And you walk in it, and you walk in a place of grace, and you walk in a place of stature and authority, and I've just been blessed to sit here and watch, and I'm so glad that you're here from Quebec. I was wonderful to see you all stand up last night. And then there's all the rest of us, because we're all important too, right? But it was really, really thrilling and to be part of the extended family. And I'd never thought about that. Marg is the woman having the last word, the final word. Isn't that amazing? Gee whiz, I should take... I usually say, no, I'm here for 3 hours. If you want to get up and go to the bathroom, you can. But I also want you to know that I'm not a theologian. It won't take you long to figure that out. I'm just a digger. And I was joking with Ted saying, I wouldn't know how to give a three-point sermon if my life depended on it. I might have 3 points, but each point has about 20. So, you know, I guess I'm just more of a talker than a preacher. I'm an exhorter, so if I sound pushy in what I'm saying, that's just exhorters in the flesh are always those people that like to tell others what to do. But, of course, we're all transformed from that, aren't we? And we know how to lift up, build up, and cheer up, so to speak. But I thought, my goodness, what a setup. I have had in my heart for a couple of months sort of what I wanted to share with you. And then I thought, well, you know, I don't know, that sounds kind of simplistic. And but I wouldn't go away. I tried several other ideas, but the Lord kept bringing me back to this one. And then I sat through the three or four who have been ahead of me. With Brother Eugene. I mean, he talked about being a launching pad. This is a launching pad for us. Now, when I say you, because I'll flip into that, but when I say you, I mean me as well. This has been like a launching pad. And he kept emphasizing with such passion, I don't know whether you caught his passion or not, on the authority that's ours as believers, you know? But listen, you know, he was speaking my language. He was speaking that releasers book that's out there. He was speaking the truth of who we are in Christ. But, you know, I think probably for most of us, it's still up here. We come into a mental assent agreement with the word. Yes, amen, hallelujah. I know that's what it says. But I'm looking for a heavy revy, as a friend of mine says. How about having a revelation from the Spirit of God about the truth of what he said? Because when we have a revelation, then we move into it. We just don't. It's just not kind of rote language. And I remember saying a while ago, it's time we begin to experience the reality of what we believe. Let me say that again. It's time to experience the reality of what we believe. Because we believe an awful lot, but it seems to stop there, you know? And then Pat Chen yesterday morning, I thought she was lovely. She talked about the God who makes impossible things possible. All of this ties into what I want to say this morning, the God who makes impossible things possible. And then last night with Elaine, new ways. This is called new ways, more or less, isn't it? New days, new ways. And the transformational days that we're in. And I remember watching a video of the Apostolic Conference at Glory of Zion in Texas last fall. And I tried like mad to get this video to bring for you, and I'm still going to try and get it. But one of the speakers at that conference had the most marvelous video. He was from sort of southeastern United States, and he had the most marvelous video explaining what he was trying to explain last night, the difference between sort of like the pastorally organized church and an apostolic center. And he did a split screen almost, and he made the comparison between the sheep pen. And the aircraft carrier. And you got, I'm really going to try and get that for you. I keep asking for it, and it's coming. Can you imagine with a sheep pen where all the little sheepies gather and get and cared for and nurtured, and pastors are going, you know, I want out of here. You know the story about the guy that says, oh, I can't go to church tomorrow morning. I don't want to go to church tomorrow morning. I'm staying in bed. I don't want to go to church. His mother says, well, you have to. You're the pastor. You know. So sheep pen versus aircraft carrier, where they come back to home base and get fired up and get equipped and get nourished and nurtured, and then they go out and they do their task. And there was such an amazing difference. And that's what you were talking about, becoming aircraft carriers in the kingdom. And taking the kingdom out there where people are just, they don't know it, half of them, but they're longing for it. They're longing for that reality. And so now me, and I want to talk to you this morning about embracing change and the action that goes with it. So we'll see where we get now. Where's my clock? It's supposed to be on. It's on. Oh, that old thing. Oh, that lies all the time.
Anyway, listen, I tell you, it's time to reposition. I'm a mother in this place. Actually, I'm a grandmother. I've been here since, in this house, since 1993. We came, Bill and I came in the summer before all heaven broke loose in January of 94. And so I've kind of watched over the years, the good, the bad, the ups, the downs, and the place that revival is still happening here. I want you to know, revival, because you see, revival is not just having great big super meetings and 17 meetings a week. Imagine having to go through that 17 meetings a week for a couple of years. I don't know how we did it. We took Mondays off to do laundry, and then the rest of it is just story. That's why that little book, Once Upon a Revival, is very good. And what I hope in that book is that it answers some of the questions to the naysayers who said, that can't be God. Well, you know. We didn't have a roadmap to follow. We were like Abraham and Sarah, I guess. Never been that way before. You just try it. You just wait. Every one of you are longing for revival, and he's pouring out in revival. I'm itinerating 90% of my time. And the different places I go, the different churches I go, and they're crying for revival. And I'm sitting there, my gosh, you guys, you're in it. What are you looking for? What are you expecting? Don't expect another Azusa Street. Don't expect another Welsh revival. Don't expect another Latter Rain. Don't expect another Toronto. Because he is so unique and different, and there's no clones. And so there's people that are so moving and growing in their relationship with him in the most fantastic ways. And so many are now catching that apostolic. I was so excited. I really was, because I really didn't know. I never asked Carl. I never knew really where we were in our approach to the apostolic thing that is out there right now. Never wanted to become the current mantra of the church, but I didn't know where you were. And so when I started to get the program and I saw apostolic centers, I thought, oh, I'm so excited, because I know that that's where he's releasing the body into being people out there in the marketplace and so forth. So we need to reposition ourselves. And then, of course, I love the scripture. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And, you know, most of us can quote that really well. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Well, I just do a little bit of research at times, so I went through the Bible and found different places where the word arise was used. Actually, you know, the Amplified for that is arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And I looked up the word arise, and you know the context of that word is used in the scriptures? It's spoken to those that are asleep, paralyzed, or dead. It is. Just read it. You're asleep, paralyzed, or dead. In other words, simply, would you get up? Sorry, I don't have all the spiritual language. Just get up, for Pete's sake. You know? And so I think, well, get up from what? You know, get up from disunity and traditionalism and ungodly religion and powerlessness and lack of vision. Whoa! And lack of knowledge and just plain ignorance. Ignorance doesn't mean stupidity. Ignorance simply means, duh, I didn't know that. Come on away, come on up. Then same old. Oh, aren't you tired of same? I'm pastor, so no, I have that label. I'm not really. But they don't call people teacher Raycroft. They call her pastor. What do you do? I don't like it. I don't like labels. But anyway, but it's time to come away, come out of the same old, same old, same old routines and that don't have any obvious anointing. Isn't that devastating? You know, you've gone through and you've done something, and you know there was no anointing on it, but you did the expected thing. Here we go again. Oh, he's making such a change, you know, all these religious activities. And even coming out of that place of former successes and anointings in ministry, because you see, he's not letting us stay in the same place. And I believe it's time to cast fresh vision. I can't do it for you this morning about all sorts of things. I'd love to, but you know, it's time to look for our dreams to be fulfilled. It really is. And then have a determined obedience to follow the Holy Spirit's leading. Like we say, we really want to follow the Holy Spirit, and then he comes and says, well, okay, I'd like you to do this and this, and we say, hold it. We do, come on. I know you would never admit to it, but you do, you know. And I remember, like say 2 years ago, really, at the beginning of probably 2013, there were so many prophetic words about bridges being established. That was bridging our past to our future. And I know that last year was the year of the open door, moving into new places in the Lord. If you go into Hebrew calendar and times and names and that. And it's a day when all our old patterns started to be shifted. We started to get uncomfortable. We started to get restless. And what, you know, for years it seemed just fine. All of a sudden we're getting restless about moving on and being shifted. And I believe he's bringing us into a new place, like you know, it says in Star Trek, you know, the old program Star Trek, to boldly go where no man or woman has ever gone before. You know, this is a little bit of an interesting group, too, because there's a number of you here that are past middle age. I want you to know there's no retirement. It's called refirement. If we got opportunities, we whose natural hair color is God only knows what. It's time. I'm going to talk to you about flying today. It's time to move on. You know, people say it's time to give your mantle to the young ones. I said, get their own. Come on. Get their own. Yay. And I love the young ones. And I love the cross-generation. You like that, Jake? He was in one of my first Gifts of the Spirit classes back in about 86. You haven't calmed down one little bit since then. Oh, my goodness. You're right. There is one up here. Oh, this is where the fire tunnel is going to be. Woo. He is bringing a new desire and a thrust of determination into us. And those are going to be the ingredients. As I say, I can't talk about it this morning, but those are the ingredients for revival. Listen, revival is for the church. Awakening is for out there. Revival, vival, revival, bringing back to life again that which has become deadened. And when we become filled with him in such a way, and I loved what you said. I mean, I was getting undone because I'm getting released into understanding the fact that we are light. Now that's kind of woo. You think about the light of resurrection life that abides and lives within you. I can't go there. It's a rabbit trail. But you are carriers. My God, we are designed to be carriers of the same spirit that raised him from the dead. And I've been into 2 Corinthians 3 and 4, you know, the light. We are called to be reflectors of his light. Can you imagine walking down the street and somebody going, whoa, what was that? That was that. As the presence of God literally shining forth from the likes of you and me. And I got going there today. Now, I'm not a techie. But there it is. Hallelujah. I'm so afraid. I could never preach from a computer. And I had words on the screen because I'd get Angry Birds or Bubble Dash right in the middle of the most profound. Well, that's me. Okay. But I got this ready to go. And here we are. I want to share a scripture with you. Hit the picture here. And it's from Mark chapter 10. I'm reading it from Amplified. Am I? Yes. Jesus and the ones who were walking with him had been traveling around the countryside doing ministry. And then you get down into verse 46, and it says, then they came to Jericho, period. And then it says, and as he was leaving Jericho. No, right there. I wonder what Pat Chen would do with that. Because I hope you unpack the scripture. When you read the stories, do you unpack it and get the in-between scenarios without feeling you're ruining the word of God? So I don't know what he was doing in Jericho while he was there. How long was he there? One day? Was he just passing through town? Had he been there a week? Who knows? It doesn't say. Okay? They came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, a son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity and mercy on me now." Amplifies, puts the word "now" in there. That must be the way that the original word was. And many severely censured and reproved him, telling him to shut up, keep still, but he kept on shouting all the more, "You, Son of David, have pity and mercy on me now." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, telling him, "Take courage, get up, he's calling you." And throwing off his outer garment, he leaped up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said, "Well, I want to see. Master, let me receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has healed you." And at once he received his sight and accompanied Jesus down the road. Let me just talk about this guy. We know him as blind Bartimaeus. I don't think his first name was blind. But Bartimaeus means he was the son of Timaeus. I wonder what his name was. But it's interesting. Maybe most of you probably know this. But you see, to be a beggar, it wasn't like in downtown Toronto. We've got all people, sorts of people at the subways and the streets, and they're sitting out with their guitar and their German Shepherd puppy looking really cute, and they're, you know, and they play their music, and you can give them some money or whatever, you know, or the kids that come out with the squeegees and wash your windows as you're stopped at a stoplight, you know, all the different ways that, or the poor soul that's at the side of the throughway when you're pulling into a stop or a curve and they got the sign saying, "I haven't eaten for 6 days," and they're 250 pounds kind of thing, you know. So anyway, to be a beggar in this era, one had to go to City Hall, whatever they had for City Hall. They had to go to the magistrate's office, and they had to apply to be an official beggar. And they were given, they weren't given a little card like we have, like a Costco card, like a little ID card. What they were given to identify them as a beggar was their beggar's cloak. If you had this beggar's cloak, it officially called you, it identified you as a beggar, and then you could sit at the side of the road or wherever and beg. And inside, the cloak was big, I get the impression. You could use it for many things. I think they could put a stick up in the middle and make kind of like a little tent out of it, a little house, you know, for, you know, out of the sunshine during the day. Inside, they would have pockets where you could keep your stash. I know that's not a good word in some circles, but you know what I mean. You keep whatever was given to you. And then also it was his badge. When you saw that, you know, knew that this man was identified as a beggar. So here he is at the side of the road, at the entrance to Jericho. And obviously he has heard about what this person, Jesus of Nazareth, has been doing. And so when he hears the crowd and the commotion, and they said, what is all this about? And they said, well, it's that Jesus coming out of town, as you saw. He began to yell his head off. And I say to people, what made Jesus know that this man had faith to be healed? Because he didn't pray for him or speak over him or anything. And I can't take time to develop it anymore, except the first thing, when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus had called him to come to him, he jumped up and he threw away his old badge of identity. He threw away his beggar's cloak because he knew that when he got to Jesus, he would be healed and he wouldn't be a beggar anymore. Okay. Was he stuck, or would he have been stuck in the same old place unless he stepped out with determination and faith, okay, would that have kept him in the same old cycle? And that's kind of like the crux of what I want to talk to you about, because we are going to have to make some decisions and step out of our comfort zone into a new place where our old identity is cast aside. What do we need to do to get up and to step out in order to see the new path that's ahead for us in what remains of 2015 going on into 2016? And so as I was, you know, this whole part of this message was being developed, I started thinking about plateaus and looking at my own life over the past years and considered the different and successive plateaus that I found myself on and the various experiences and churches and ministries that Bill and I were part in for years. And Bill's living with Jesus right now, so he's on a new plateau or in a new place. But what's been there? And I don't have time to go into the testimonies, but way back, oh my gosh, before some of you were ever a gleam in your father's eye, you young ones, when the Holy Spirit fell on mainline denominations in the 60s and 70s. And we were part of a little United Church in the west end of Toronto, Alderwood United Church. And out of the blue, without even knowing, the Holy Spirit fell on our pastor. Wondered what hit him. He'd gone to pray for an elder. While he was there, something strange happened to him. He says, I got to get out of here. And he's in the car driving home, and he bursts out in tongues. He said, and everything that he says, I'd never learned at seminary, just absolutely. And at the same time as this was happening to him, Ron Armstrong, an Anglican pastor, and his wife in a section of West End Toronto, the same thing was happening to them. And so it was very infectious. And they each of them brought to their congregations. Before we knew it, we were weird. We were weird, glorious weird, and we'd get phone calls 2 and 3 in the morning. Hi, Mary Audrey. It's so-and-so. Guess who got it tonight? You know what it was? Holy Spirit was falling all over the place. We were the mockery of the town. We used to have a newspaper called the Toronto Telegram. And about, you know, every 2 or 3 weeks, the Toronto Telegram, there'd be the religious page. It would have a whole page on that. Funny little church in the west end of Toronto that had healing meetings and practiced glossolalia. If you don't know what that is, well, I'll ask somebody later. And it was no different than the nonsense that went on when everything happened here, you know, 40 years later at what was then Toronto Airport Church. And so, you know, came the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and 18 years were in that church. Who needed anything more? What fellowship, what fun. We grew. We were in a choir that traveled, you know, to the Caribbean. It was lovely. He never sent us to Alaska. That's amazing. We went to, you know, Jamaica, Bermuda, you know, Barbados. It was lovely. And it was wonderful. Who needed anything more? And then Bill got moved with the oil company to another city, still close, but you don't really go back to the old place. And I got involved with a ministry, a sort of like a parachurch, a traveling ministry, became mentored by an awesome gal who was way ahead of her time, teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, and we traveled together, and we itinerated to, you know, the Caribbean again, and to Malaysia, and different places in the States, and Canada, and England, and so forth. And then I went into television ministry, and what more could there be? You didn't need any more. It was absolutely wonderful. And then in the early 90s, with a prophetic gal that you probably know from the States, and controversial, but a wonderful woman, Patricia King. But her name was Pat Cocking then, and Pat and I went to school in England, healing, deliverance, and evangelism for 9 weeks. I came back, you know, with all my lists of how to heal the sick. But my goodness, exhorters, you know, just following the lists doesn't do it. You got to follow the Spirit. But who needed, you know, for a year? It was awesome. There's my calling. That's what I need. No. And after that was finished, there's other things in between. Bill and I ended up here at a perfect place for us. Little tiny two-room building, the other side of the airport, called Toronto Airport Vineyard. Ha, ha, ha. And we were just fine, thank you. We were about 200 strong. We had love for one another. We were growing. We had inner healing ministries and growing in the Word. And everything was fine, and we never rocked a boat. We were lovely. Until very unceremoniously, January 20th, 1994, the Holy Spirit decided to intervene. And life has never been the same. 20 years. Very easy to get stuck on a plateau there. I'm talking about me personally now, because as I'm talking about this, some of you are going to start to remember the different plateaus that you've had in your life, the different places you've been. And so about the last 3 years, he's kind of taken me out of home and linked me up with some others, and I'm doing a lot more things outside the local church structure, and I'm very glad to be able to come home, you know, once a month if I'm blessed, and be part of the family here, okay? Every one of these places I've been, and there was lots of other little things in between, but same for you, everyone was terrific. And I thought it was the be-all and the end-all, tasted everything. How could there ever be anything more? Surprise, you know? But as I thought back, you know, with each one of those things, I had to make a choice to move on. Each one was moving on into a different place. Some of you today, this weekend, are being challenged by the Spirit of God to move on into a new place. You know, each of those was a bridge or a path to the new. You didn't throw away the good of the old. It became the ingredient that you took with you into the new, the good things, you know. But each one of those was an old season. Say, old season. It's old. It's old. What happened here 20 years ago is old. If we go back and try and relive that, we'll be backsliding. In fact, Bobby Connor, maybe some of Bobby Connor from the States, you know, he always says these owie expressions. He says, if we're not moving on in God, we're backsliding. That's an owie, you know. So when you think of a plateau, as well as a plateau being, well, you've watched the cowboy movies, seen the plateaus and the herds go in stampede and they come to the edge of the plateau and fall off into the cliff below. But the plateau is a relatively flat, you know, piece of highlands raised above what's around, you know, usually above a steep canyon. You can see miles around. It's a very safe place to set up camp. But the word has another meaning as well, the word plateau. And this is what I'm sharing these other meanings with you, because I think the Holy Spirit's going to just push a little button and say, okay. Here it is, a period when something does not increase or advance any further. A leveling off process. To reach a particular level and then stay at the same place. In other words, get stale. A period or state of little or no growth, to stop increasing or progressing, to level off. To cause to remain at a stable level, especially to prevent from rising or progressing forward. A situation where something has stalled that was previously progressing forward. A high point in a career or ministry where the probability of or motivation to progress is low. So I wonder how many of us here this morning are on some kind of a plateau, you know, halfway through 2015. And are we ready to leap forward? That's, you know, we're going to watch a video in a minute. Because we say, oh yes, wherever you want to take me, God, I'll go. And then he places the opportunity right in your face and you freeze. Are we willing to go on? Or are we going to be content and satisfied to stay in the same old place? Now, God's not going to love us any less if we choose to stay in the same old place. But I think that we'd miss the adventure of a lifetime, of moving in lockstep with him, led by the very breath, the flow of the Spirit of God. And many of us get so stuck in our local churches, the way we've always done things, or the dictates of other people into our lives, that we never, ever, ever consider that we could move on. I think we might decline if we don't update, become stale if we keep in the same old pattern with all the old habits, you know? Like we just, come on, let's just get real. We know how to do this stuff. 99% of us do the same stuff week after week after week after week, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, for example. Because that's the way we've always done it. And you know what it's like, guys? You try to put a little bit of innovative stuff in your program, let's call it that way, and the sheep start biting. We don't want to get bitten, so we go back and listen, I think this might be the book. Let me just be honest. Can I mean, this is a different group than what I would normally know. Do you know what? We become hirelings. Are we hirelings? Or are we innovative men and women who God's put a baton in our hand to lead the sheep into green pasture, into good pasture, and to equip them and send them out there to win the lost? Now, that was something I'd never thought of to even say until this very moment, so I think it might have been a prompt from the Spirit of God. I recall Graham Cook's admonition about the fifth year in the revival here. He was here one Sunday morning, and I don't remember the whole context, but one of the things he did say was an admonition to keep loose structures. That didn't mean don't have four walls, you know, but to keep loose structures and be ready to move with the cloud as the Lord moved. See, that takes guts. It really does, you know. I believe the Holy Spirit moves upon us constantly to change and update ourselves. He is bringing change like a new weather front continually. And each one of these I could spend some time talking about, and I can't this morning, but he's bringing a change of procedures. So we need to be so flexible, a need for flexibility. He's bringing a change in perception where we begin to see things through another angle. I think Ephesians talks about the multifaceted, multivariegated, you know, sides of God. We need to see things differently. And I don't think it's true here because this is such a wonderful mixed bag. We're not all the same. But, you know, there's so many groups that have to come out of their tunnel vision. I only see it this way. It's the only way. This is the only way God works. It's the only way church should be. He is breaking all of that down. There's a change in sound coming. Some of you are starting to be aware of the new sounds from heaven in praise and worship. That's a different note, a different key, a different tone. It's something that really does lift you out of just praise. I don't mean just praise, but out of praise into a place of worship. Have you ever read Ruth Heflin's book, The Glory? And she writes, you know, praise until worship comes. And then worship until the glory comes. Oh my goodness, that's happening more and more and more and more and more. And then another thing is that she's changing alignments. Oh my goodness, we're getting connected with people that we didn't even know before, because he's expanding our horizons. It's so amazing. It's time to take hold of the assignments he's placed within you. It's time to take hold of the hopes, the dreams, even the prophetic words that have been spoken to you and repeated, perhaps through different ones over and over again. They're sitting up on a shelf waiting for God to do something, and God is saying, you know, I'm waiting for you to do something with what I've promised you. It's time for you to pick them up and start running with them, you know. It's time to tap into him and, you know, take action with lots of guts. How about chutzpah? We may want to do something. Who's ever back there for me? Could I have number one, the green one? We're going to watch a video. Want you to embrace the feelings that this young woman is having. Embrace your feelings. We get excited, don't we? Something good's going to happen. It's called preparation. not sure if that's her Johnny on the spot she's got with her or not. I just saw that. That's it. Shake it real good. Wow, you can turn her off now. Well, could you feel what was going on inside her? What do you think was going on inside her? Apprehension? What? She says, I've made the wrong decision. I've made the wrong choice. Anybody else? Just fear? Just panic? Well, I really want to. Oh, I really want to do that. Oh, I really want to go and heal the sick. Oh, I really want to get out in the street ministry. Oh, I really want to go to Booga Booga Land. Oh, I really want to, but ooh. Every time I take my step and I stand and I really look at all the possibilities, something in me just freezes. Is there anybody that feels that way? Or are we cool? Are we really cool? I'm so scared, you know. I know she was attached to a bungee cord, which, you know, hauled her back to safety. And I haven't got time this morning to look at the fact that we're being drawn to leap, but there may be a bungee cord that's holding us back from doing what God's designed for us to do. Maybe it's a career leap. Maybe it's a ministry leap. Maybe it's a relationship leap. But some things we're going to have to leap out of, and some things we're going to have to leap into, believe me, you know. And I want you to just think about those things that could be holding you back, like fears of failures, hopes and dreams that have put on a shelf because you've had to do other work, you know. Somebody else dictating to you what the call is on your life. Or maybe, as happened to me a long time ago, being crippled by someone else's opinion of what you should be doing, or even releasing things towards you that were designed to shut you up. I got hit with a spiritual viper a long time ago when I was newly baptized in the Holy Spirit, but very active and very involved and moderately mouthy, because that's an exhorter. But I was told by a certain leader in the church, a woman in the church, a real Brunhilde, I'll never forget her calling me this morning, and over the phone came the viper. And who do you think you are? We. Now, she's the corporate we. Pastor didn't feel this way, I discovered. We are sick and tired of hearing your voice around here. And it is about time you began to mind your own business. And but in a blah, 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 blah. And I got hit with that viper that shut me up. I could still communicate, but on one-on-one, speaking into the deep issues of your heart or anything like that, I would just freeze. I couldn't, because you were none of my business. Well, you know, as I go along and mature, I realize that this is the thing I use for ministry, and so anything designed to shut you out to make you feel intimidated or you know, controlled, it's interesting. Whole litany of fears. Other people's opinions, you know, rejection, oh, fear of failure. How about, guys, now come on, how about being so afraid of making a mistake, it's safer to do nothing? Like the three that are written about, I think it was at Matthew 25, where two, you know, put the money and got a good return, but the other guy was afraid, so he hid it, and the master was not a happy camper. Maybe comfort zone. Maybe a place that's your place of security, your pension, for Pete's sake. Your place of, what's that? Your place of security that I couldn't possibly step out and do that because they wouldn't like it. And it's my lifeline, so I really can't do what you're asking me to do, God. How about procrastination? How about worshiping the God of Gunna? Okay. So you know, this weekend when you're finished, you're going to look at your passion once again, and let God stir you again in that and start leaping. I need you to just consider a couple of leapers from the scripture. I'm not even going to go into the word, but just mention them. Look at the scenario. If they hadn't leaped, is it leaped or leapt? I said that the other night. I don't know whether it's leapt or leaped, but I guess it's what country you're from. You know, if they hadn't taken the jump. What about Moses' mother, Jochebed? What if she hadn't put the three-month-old baby in the basket and sent him down the river? You know? Well, would the nation have been rescued in the way it was years later? What would be going on in her guts having to do that? What about Abigail? Because she was so intimidated by her mean, unreasonable husband that she was just, she simply couldn't do anything. And she would not have gone out and interacted with David and saved the ranch, so to speak. You know, what if she hadn't done that? What about JL? What if JL, who was a real a pro at putting tent pegs in and putting up the... What if she hadn't picked up that thing in a sledgehammer while that guy's asleep in her tent and just one wham, nailed him to the floor? What if she hadn't done that? He'd have gone back to lead another army again. What about Ruth? What about Ruth if she couldn't leave her past? You know, she had to go back into Moab, you know, her sister did. You never hear about her sister again. You know, she had to leap out of the old and follow a bitter old woman who wasn't a happy camper and trekked all the way back to Bethlehem. You know, and you know, I'm not even going to the story, but she never would have become the great, I don't know how many greats it is, the great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus. What about Esther? Oh, for goodness sake, if she'd become afraid and self-conscious and chicken and not gone boldly before the king, you know, really out of order. If she hadn't done that, a whole nation would have been decimated. Those are what I call leaps of faith. What about Joshua looking out over Jericho and knowing that nobody could take Jericho? And even though, you know, he had sort of the word from the Lord and everything, he said, no, can't do that. What a leap of faith. I thought about, what about Elisha? Who had to go, went and burned up his past. Didn't he go and burn up the herd, got rid of his old identity so he could follow after the one that God had put before him. I thought, what about Moses? Burning bush experience. Think I'll put a little chapel right here and we'll have a burning bush meeting every week. Oh, I could go on and on and on. I won't. But my question is, what would be missed in our own lives and in the lives of others if we chose to ignore the quickenings of God and refuse to leap into his call and his plan and his purpose for our life? And you know, I just say it's time to start leaping. It's time to start leaping. And yes, there'll be natural. I loved what she said yesterday morning. For goodness sakes, it's okay to be totally human. I'm not making excuses for my stupid behavior. Probably times of sin, really. But you know, as I get older, more and more and more, I say, well, God, you know what it is. You know how you made me. You know the design. You know what needs to be transformed and changed. And this is what you got to work with. You know, remember Randy Clark saying for years, little old me, little old you, he will use us. Oh, no, I don't even like that. I don't think he uses us. He wants to walk alongside us to accomplish his birth. And so he'll use the... Listen, if he used a donkey, I'll use a nice name for it. Balaam's donkey. By the way, just to get my 2 cents worth in, Balaam's ass was female. I never knew that. Yeah. Okay, we won't go there anymore. Why did I do that? Oh, dear me. It says so, because he said to her, and she said, it says in mob. That's my Bible this morning. It says in my Bible, back there in Numbers, she said, and he kicked her. If you want to interpret it any other way, go ahead. Now, I got to bring this to a close, because we're all... I wonder what great spiritual point that had for the group. Oh, my goodness. I haven't thought about her for years. I better go back and read about her. He'll use any unlikely thing, won't he? I know that I was joking with Ted earlier that this is not proper protocol when you're giving a message. You usually only show one clip, but you see, I have two. And he said, go for it anyway. There you go. Because you have a purpose, a destiny, a call, a design that is for you and you alone. It's mine is not the same as Mars. It never will be. We may have, similar attributes or talents or giftings, but still, there's not one clone in the kingdom. And you are heading somewhere. We're going to look at a video about an individual who had the most tremendous challenge in front of him. He had to meet this challenge in order to save a life. It was absolutely desperate and drastic. And for some of you that might be still a little bit religious, it's not scriptural. But we'll get the scriptural out of it, and we'll see a principle here, and we'll see a book that he was even following the pattern and the rules in the book. You know how you can take a story, a movie, a video, and you can just, you can just take that. God, that's what you're doing with us, only in a different context. And I want you to see this amazing leap of faith. And I'll just talk about it briefly, and then you're all going to take one. Okay? You got number two ready? Some of you already know this. There he goes. He's got to get across. Oh. Well, he's got a book that's showing him how to go. Oh, how do you do it? You may have to turn it up a bit. It's impossible. Oh, I can't do it. He has to get across, to get the grail, to save his leap of faith. Only believe, you. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. Oh. Oh. I wasn't there before. I wasn't there before. He's across. It's gone. Oh, my goodness. You know the story. Indiana Jones, the Holy Grail. He had to pass through three challenges, which are just wild, crazy, in order to reach that Holy Grail and save his father, who happens to be Sean Connery, from death. And there's Sean, I only believe, Indy, only believe. And they heard him say, it's going to take a leap of faith. It's going to take a leap of faith. And he had to decipher all these riddles that were in the book that helped him get through the maze of dangers that were there. You and I are going to have to decipher. Isn't it wonderful? We've got the Holy Spirit who quickens the Word of God. And when you get a quickened Word of God, you've got your pattern, you've got your assurance, you've got your security, you've got your place for stepping out. And the last trial before entering that final room, containing the grill, was this leap of faith. And from Indy's perspective, he was literally stepping out. I don't know how deep that thing was, but he was literally stepping out over that chasm. But you see, the prospect of losing his father made him suck it back almost and put his foot out. And there, something that had been hidden from natural view appeared for him to step on. He had a firm ground on which to walk. You and I are called to make leaps of faith, but we don't see what's there for our foot to step on, you know? But we know that we don't need to step out into thin air, uncertain about what's there. That's why I so appreciated what Brother Eugene was trying to say. We need to be so certain, not here, but in here, by the rhema revelation of God, of what he says, and even I think it's back in Balaam's time. It's in Numbers. Does it not say? Has not God spoken? God is not a man that he should lie. Has he not spoken? And shall he not make it good? When he has put his dream, his design, his call, his pattern in your heart, and he says, I've given it to you, come on. You know, when they, Joshua and they were crossing the Jordan was at flood tide. Like, there's no way we can cross this. The waters didn't part until a priest put their foot in the water. It's not going to part for many of us until we put our foot in the water and test me and prove me and see if I'm not there for you, says the Lord. And we jump, we don't jump into outer space, we leap right into the arms of Jesus, because he is the steady ledge. Where's Bonnie, that song that was being sung this morning? He is my, I could add a word, he's our rock, he's our ledge, he's our security. Another person isn't. He is our rock, our ledge, our security, on whom we can stand, and stand securely and firmly. And we have to take that leap of faith into that place, even with our heart pounding within us. Even what might seem foolish to those that are close to us. I've had to do something which would seem foolish to my family and friends at my age, leaving the, quote, security of full-time here to step out just a couple of years ago, 2 years ago. Oh, really? Yeah. Why not? Why don't we have that attitude? Why not? Let's go for it. My goodness sakes alive. So these are days of suddenlies. Fresh encounters. There's all sorts of fresh encounters for you. An unveiling, a taking any kind of blinkers that are off us, and blind, like opening our eyes to see things in a new way. Burning hearts, like the guys on the road to Emmaus, you know, and they're not recognizing it's Jesus, but it says something's going on. Didn't we, you know, weren't we just kind of, our hearts burned when we were near him. It's a day of burning hearts. In fact, I think there's some kind of music out there, or some kind of group called the Burning Ones. I don't know what that is. But we're called to be burning ones. We're called to be believers who shine in the glory of God. These are days of his manifest presence like never before. Where can I go? I need to know your presence. His presence is always with us, always, always, always. But to be aware of it, to know it, I mean, the thickness of his presence during worship this morning was phenomenal. But you'll know that thickness when you're driving. There are going to be times you're going to have to pull over to the side of the road because the thickness of his presence in your vehicle is just like, oh my goodness. His presence is right with you. It's so tangible. It's days of our hearts being healed and us being set on fire. And these are days when we're called to step out of the natural into the supernatural, because the church was never built on natural. And the works and plans of man will not bear lasting fruit, even though they're really good. So they're days to choose to leap out of our old season, off our plateaus, into the now of his quickening presence. I'm trying to think how to close this. And realizing that we haven't had that opportunity to bless you all. You know, I think there was time last night. I know that I was tired and left a bit maybe before everything was over. But we wanted to figure out a way to lay hands on you all and just impart to you and say, go for it. And so the best way to seem to do that, and I'm wondering, Ted, could you get your team up here now? The best way to do that would be that we would do... Yeah, those that have been asked. We would do this thing that we call a fire tunnel. If I was teaching you on the river, I'd call it a water tunnel. And as you come through, I'm going to push this. Can we push this back against the thing there? And so you got some of your leaders, and Mark and I will be doing it too. And we're just going to put our hands together with each other as couples, and you're going to come through between us. And we're going to bless you. You see, this was easier. I was trying to envision getting you all lined up on the stage and have you jumping off by faith. But listen, I was doing a woman's conference here in the mid-90s. How many of you know, like, Dottie and Charles Schmidt from Silver Springs, Maryland? Dottie Schmidt is an amazing Bible teacher and a very astute woman. She's a lot of fun, but she's a no-nonsense woman. Very matriarchal, and she's standing up on the platform, and she gets so wound up and so wired in her message, she just takes off, and she walked right off the stage. And her body, she went straight out, and her body got about here, and she went clonk on the floor. She never missed a word. But I didn't think you would want to do that this morning. You need to get in pairs across from one another. Would you line up with your partner and look at them in the eye? Get your partner, okay? Find a partner. Mark's my partner. And so we've got some fire water music to put on. And as you would choose, I want to pray with you, but then as you would choose, are they able to hold hands with each other without feeling funny? I think you're going to have to, but sirs, you're going to have to start down here. Come on. Because when people go, and you kind of get close. Like that, yeah. And now you can't expect, put your hand out like that, Larry. You don't expect somebody to crawl under there, do you? No. Oh, and do you bless people with the back of your hand?
I thought I was supposed to hold her hand.
Hold her hand, Billy. Hold your hand up. Hold your hands up. There you go. Okay. And as you come through, we're going to bless you. And you know, you're going to have hands laid on. And so... almost, I won't do because it's kind of corny. Sometimes I put a pole here or something that you have to leap over. So Mark and I are going to just bless you as you leap. And let's just see this as taking a leap of faith into a new place. When you come out the other end, it's childlike, isn't it? Just steps of faith. Say, here's the past. You know, this was a fabulous weekend. Yes. But you don't have last night again. I don't know how to learn. I wish I could learn how to live in the now. You know what? If we learned to live right in the now, right now, I think we'd start doing exploits in the kingdom. Because we wouldn't have to look at all the other stuff around. Just in the now. And so as you go through here, are you going to get tired? Yeah. Well, you could put them down till they start coming. I just release you guys to, you know, if you're going to bring a prophetic word as they go through, you're going to have to make it short, sweet, and to the point. Because, you know, we don't need a 20-minute prophecy. We just need to say, mm. And so I just call forth the anointing from all you people. And as you go out the other end, you know you're going out blessed. And let's see what the Holy Spirit wants to do, okay? So we got some fire music, honey, back there. Could we have some faster fire music, please? You're a stinker. We don't want any lovely worship music, or they'll lay right down in the middle of it. Okay, so, oh, yeah, Bonnie could play the glory song. Hey, is that Tim back there, honey? Do you know what? We do want you to do that, but where'd she go? Where is she? Up there? That's better. So would you reach out and take the arm or the hand of the person sitting next to you? And I just say, Father, I thank you for what you've accomplished this weekend. I was going to pray first, but it's all right. And I just want to make declaration that not one word will be robbed from our spirits, or not even our minds, before we understand it, that you'll watch over it. And that as these people go through the fire tunnel, they're saying goodbye to the old and jumping and leaping into the new. In Jesus' name.